Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. This is my dad, Ted.
Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. I'm your host, Ted Knightsky. As a leader, I spend a good deal of time working with others who have the same thing in common that people in leadership have had since the start of time. How do I get people to be motivated and willing to work hard for themselves and others? Why is it that so many people just don't do what I want? There are so many ways in which each of us can address others and their motivations. But most importantly, the thing to remember is that you don't get to decide if others are going to be motivated. You don't get to determine if they'll do their best, and you do not get to pick which moments people will demonstrate grit and persevere. Do you know why that is? It's because individuals determine for themselves what they're going to do. Okay, Theodore, then what is it that leaders can do? Well, you lead. Remember that a leader is anyone who has influence over another person. So your job as a leader is to create the conditions for others so they get excited, so others are motivated, so others do their best and take risks, so that others trudge on when the going gets tough. So many organizations take surveys of their staff and stakeholders, and hierarchical leaders will be held accountable for the engagement levels of others. But ultimately, individuals decide if they're motivated or not. So what is a leader to do? Well, the leader's job is to practice the behaviors that get the most from others and, more importantly, create the conditions so that people are willing to be leaders themselves. As I continue to grow as a person and read more and more and see the results of others' leadership as well as my own, I come back to a simple strategy that can be employed in every environment in which you are. If you want to increase the leadership of others, you just have to try it. Now, I don't care if you're a 4K teacher, an AP calculus teacher, a surgeon, a mom, an attorney, or a plumber. This one little thing can drive great results and increase outcomes. The strategy is to point it out. It being anything that you want to see more of. Point it out. The fancy term for this is positive reinforcement. We're going to look at the ideas and some research behind positive reinforcement, and then I'm going to share with you one of the most powerful exercises I do when I'm coaching groups of people, especially leadership teams or people who've worked together for a long time. Now, before we go forward, however, let's review two things. One, a leader is anyone who has influence over another person, which makes all of us leaders capable of great things for others. And a buffalo leader, well, that is someone who optimistically charges into the storm in an effort to immediately take on the challenges they are faced with in the service of others. So let's look at what you need to do to point it out and why. First of all, we are really good at showing others their faults. As a matter of fact, it seems that as we age as human beings, we go through a few stages of pointing it out. First, in our middle school years, we're really good at pointing out who's acting weird, has a zit, has a cracking voice, or weird and unique qualities. We seem programmed to point out what is different, and we are quick to highlight the defaults and faults of others. Then, we get into high school, and we magnify those differences, and we continue to point them out. But then as we get older, those differences become admired, and we begin to point out the courage it takes to be different, or to simply be yourself. And then for some odd reason, as we get older, it seems that we revert back to middle school, and we constantly point out in others what we don't like. It's a weird cycle. And here's where we, as leaders, can make a huge difference in the lives of those we serve. Everyone is hypersensitive to criticism. I have yet to meet anyone who's like, hey, please, freely tell me what you think my faults and deficiencies are. Tell me what you don't like about me, and share with me a few things that you would prefer I never do again. Yet, isn't it weird how we're always prepared for that negative criticism? Well, why is that? I'll tell you why. And I'll also tell you why it is so important to me that we all start to recognize that we simply need to point out the things that we like, and then we'll get more of it. To start with, let's look at the four developmental stages of humans: infancy, childhood, adolescence, and adulthood. Now, within there are many more. There's actually a total of 8 total stages of humans, but we're going to simplify it to make it 4. I want you to reflect for a moment on how much positive reinforcement occurs in these stages of life. There's no science behind this statistic, but based upon my observations and life experiences, here's what I would say. If I were to take the positive reinforcement percentages of a person's life, I'd say that 50% of all the positive reinforcement we get as a human is when we're an infant, 30% when we're children, 5% when we're adolescents, and maybe 15% as an adult. Think about the idea of positively showering upon others what they're doing well. And think about when you are a baby and a toddler. Everything you do is off the charts exciting. The first time you eat some sort of a mush, parents go over the moon. And the first time you tinkle in the toilet, it's like an award ceremony. Now, as you get into childhood, the story begins to change a little bit. There are multiple stages of childhood, but to simplify it, when you're preschool age, you live in a mixed world. Good job playing with others and sharing. It's then contrasted by, get your finger out of that outlet. But still, as you enter school, you continue to enjoy a majority of the time getting positive reinforcement. We all learn from positive and negative reinforcement. We all learned how to smile by looking at crazy adults who held us when we were infants, and they smiled warmly at us and made faces and did goofy things, and then we worked to make them happy by repeating their behavior. But the scale of positive reinforcement slowly drops as we move into upper elementary and early middle school. Suddenly, there are a few things we can do correctly. Our friends are under scrutiny. Our decisions are under scrutiny. We begin to be judged against others by our own family and our peers, and we now hear more negative reinforcement than positive. This leads us to exhibit some odd behaviors, and most of us in this age work to avoid any engagement at all because it is so unpredictable whether we will be right or wrong. As a teenager, you could simply walk into your home as a kid and a string of negative things could be unleashed upon you. How irresponsible you are for not putting your clothes away, how rude you are, how annoying you are, how ungrateful you are, and the list goes on and on. Now, while it is not always negative, most of us in our developmental ways of youth were very self-aware and incredibly critical of ourselves. We didn't need anybody to point it out. So as soon as we heard anything negative, many of us just fell into a tailspin. Finally, you, the adult, you think deep about the last time you heard positive reinforcement. I hope for your sake it was recently, but many of us, we can go weeks and months without hearing anything that we're doing well. And that is why you as a leader need to point it out and create the conditions so that people know what they're doing well. Point it out. Here's the bottom line. People in general, and I am no exception, learn from reinforcement. We are motivated by positive reinforcement, and we are demotivated and disengaged by negative reinforcement. Think about it. Someone says to you, hey, we need more of that. You did a great job. You swell a little, and then you do it again. And if you err and someone says it like this, it's okay. Let's use this as an opportunity to get better. Well, you'll take risks for that person. But when someone starts out a sentence with a, what in the world were you thinking type of a statement, well, you usually feel bad, avoid doing it again, resent the other person, and work to avoid ever being in that situation again. There are a handful of people in the world, however, who use that statement to prove others wrong and are motivated by it. But most people, well, they just disengage. I learned the power of positive reinforcement when I was a coach and a teacher and applied those learnings as a parent and a leader. I falter sometimes, but when you as a leader see others motivated and sparked by your work and actions, it is equally powerful for you as it is for them. So, when I was a teacher, I learned just how much people are studying the leaders in their lives. I was teaching high school history for 11th grade students. I remember this like it was yesterday. I had assigned a research project for the students about the election of 1912. By the way, look it up. Most interesting election in American history. Anyway, the students were asked to create a kind of display board or a poster and then make promotional materials for the candidate, propaganda. All of the students did what they had been reinforced to do their entire lives. They went to the store, they got glitter, they got poster board, and they created a poster to be displayed in the halls with all of the information on it. All except for one student, who had made a 3-panel display using cardboard, put small twinkling lights all around the outside, and bedazzled the daylights out of this thing. Now, to be fair, her poster was also filled with exemplary content, but it looked amazing. The next day, as the election posters were displayed, well, this one in particular was center stage in my classroom. I talked about it every hour and reinforced its quality. Guess what happened the next time we had a similar assignment? My classroom looked like Times Square. The kids took the cue, and they all decided to add lights, extra panels, and some were like, well, I'm going to add sound. Why? They wanted to meet the expectations that were positively reinforced the last time because they learned from it. How you as a leader respond to others is how they respond to you. You want engagement? Be engaged and reinforce the behaviors you need in the organization and create the conditions so that people know what it is that they do well and what is expected of them. So how do you do that when you've worked with people for a really long time? When you fail to maintain a positive reinforcement environment, or it's just simply not your nature? Well, we'll find out after we hear a quick word from this week's sponsor.
Hi, this is Grace Snitsky, Ted's daughter and the voice you usually hear at the start of the podcast. I wanted to ask the woman listeners this week to consider participating in the Women's Leading Wisconsin Conference on March 9th and 10th at the American Club in Kohler, Wisconsin. This year, the Women Leading Wisconsin Conference will feature two great speakers focusing on becoming fearless and fulfilled, and have over 150 women from all around Wisconsin get together and meet the organization mission to engage and empower all women through the learning and partnership opportunities to become transformational leaders who make a positive and lasting impact in their communities. The Women Leading Wisconsin Conference is an opportunity for women in leadership positions or aspiring leaders to come together to network and to be inspired and empowered in leadership growth and develop opportunities. Go to CESA6.org to register. From one woman to another, we need more women to take on leadership positions, so please register now before it's too late. The conference is filling up fast. Now back to the podcast.
Nice job, Grace. Okay, now to the strategy. It is a game. But before I share the game with you, I want to share the results. In 30 minutes with the people you work with, live with, or support, you can create the conditions to reinforce what others see in you and others in a way that is moving, unforgettable, and frankly, will allow for those in the room to significantly change their behaviors and perceptions of each other. When people are together for extended periods of time, like in a classroom every day, in meetings every day, in boardrooms every day, or in a truck every day, or even those who live with each other, they need a process to share what they appreciate about each other. However, like I stated before, no one naturally goes around telling people what they like or don't like about them, and when you are told what it is that others appreciate or admire about you, well, you work towards that, but it can feel weird. So, I've been using this game for about 3 years with teams that I serve with, my family, and those that I train. Every time I see the exact same thing happen, a greater appreciation for those around them, a higher level of risk and reward, significant, almost life-changing reflection occurs, and finally, a breakdown of some of the historical struggles and mindsets that are ever present in the lives of people who have to be around each other all the time. The beauty of this game is that it can be played with frequency, because the outcomes are always different, but the themes remain the same. Now, the name of the game is Totem, and it is available online. You can get it on Amazon or just Google Totem and you can buy it right from the company. The game has two decks of cards, and I usually only play with the animal cards. Now, totem poles are a cultural contribution of the Native Americans living in the northwest part of North America. A totem pole was carved by multiple artisans, many times from different tribes, and the carvings on the totem pole each symbolized something for the tribe or tribes who had come together for a potlatch dinner. The strongest and most revered quality was put at the bottom of the pole and carved by the most experienced and best craftsmen. So the game. Back to the game. The game is the same thing. Here's what you do. You get those around you that serve with you and for you, and you play. You deal out all the cards, and then everyone takes one card and hands it upside down to whoever we are focusing on. The card is a strength and quality that you admire most in that person. The receiver then takes the cards and builds a totem pole by putting the quality they see most in themselves at the base and building their way to the top. If you play with 5 or 6 people, the game goes quick and is tear and joy filled. Here's why. As the receiver of the cards, you are being shown by others around you what they admire most about you. The cards actually say what I like about you and is an injection of positive reinforcement. Here's some of the examples of the cards. This one here, it's got a leopard on it. It says, I like you because you spring into action. Here's a whale. You stay calm in the midst of chaos. A cicada. You are comfortable breaking the silence. An otter. You naturally communicate your zest of life. The first time I played this and people gave me the cards, I sat there stunned by how powerful it was for me, how hard it was for me to put the cards in order, and how much I really appreciated what other people saw in me, what they liked and what they appreciated. Now, once the cards have been put into a totem pole, you as the builder, you have to listen. You say, I put the otter at the base, and then the person who gave it to you tells you why they gave it to you, and you disclose the other animal cards one at a time after each person has told you who gave it to you. Now, a couple of keys here for you if you facilitate this. First, norm the team by telling them to shut up and take the compliment. Now, I don't mean to be so crude, but here's the deal. This is the perceptions that others have about you, not what you think about yourself. So if someone says they think you're really organized, listen to why they think that. Don't argue, okay? It's their perception, and it's the quality they admire about you. I also found that I have to train people how to respond during this game, because many people don't know how to take a compliment. My rule is after someone explains why they gave you the compliment card that they did, that you are only allowed to say one thing. Thank you. Here's the deal. This game can be so uncomfortable when you're the receiver, because you're sitting there while all the people around you are telling you nothing but positives. People who've worked together for a long time look at each other so differently, because even when you've served together for an entire career, you may have never told the other person what you valued about them. In addition, when you play this in the classroom, oh my gosh, kids have to be positive, and they share with each other all of the strengths that they see in each other, and it can completely change your classroom culture, as well as your boardroom, as well as your truck, as well as whatever you do. You want to shift the culture? Play the game. Relationships, when you play this, are reinvigorated or energized. It allows you to utilize a process to point out what is good in the world around you, and it influences others to be better. If you want others to be their best, you need others to feel empowered, to understand where they actually stand in your eyes as well as in the eyes of others. And most importantly, they need to be positively reinforced so that they grow to be who they are capable of being. And that's only going to happen if you point it out. So let's do some smart thinking. List the names of the people that you have positively reinforced in the last 3 days. Describe how you can increase your influence by reinforcing the behaviors that lead to others being empowered. And last, are you going to order the game Totem Pole? Okay. That's it. That's the Smart Thinking Podcast. Hey, as always, thank you for listening, and please share and rate this episode on your platform. If you can, please remember to tag the podcast in your post so that we can all add into that conversation. Thank you to the Well Pennies for the great music, and don't forget to register for the Women Leading Wisconsin Conference at CISA6.org. Last, I really want you to buy this game. I know this sounds cheesy, but it's a game changer. Here's what I would suggest you do so that you experience the true power of the game. Play it with your family. My family, we played this game with my children and their grandparents, and it was a powerful hour of our lives. Two teenagers sitting with the people who know them best, and they're hearing and seeing all the things that others love about them. Teenagers do not get the credit they deserve, and the night we played this and heard all the things that everybody liked about them, well, that was really moving. It was moving for all of us. But I'll tell you what was the most moving was when the adults got to hear from the kids what they admired about us and their grandparents. Well, when that happened, there wasn't enough tissue on our table. While this podcast is about reinforcing others and pointing out to them what you appreciate, it's also about creating the process to ensure that you know your value. Leaders, teachers, parents, and friends, we don't hear often what we're doing well, and we certainly don't always know what other people appreciate about us. Even the most confident among us need the reminder that we are doing things that make a difference. I talk about my kids and family a lot. But the night we played Totem, that's one I'll never forget. Because I saw the responses of the people I hold closest to my heart and how they felt lift in their own souls. Get the game. Point out what you expect. And then as you create the conditions for others to feel more confident, well, they'll start charging into the storm. The storms that life presents. And they'll charge with confidence.